you are enjoying your summer, albeit hot, but it's going to cool off in the next couple of days, and so that's good. Super to worship you with you this morning. I don't know if this keeps up. I'm going to have to get some of those cardiac paddles and revive me. The Spirit of the Lord is so wonderfully present, and I thank you for praying. We prayed here this morning. We had a time shift for our prayer time, and we began to pray again this morning at 8 o'clock. And just a reminder to those of you who would enjoy getting out early on a Sunday morning, we had a great group here, and I want you to feel comfortable in doing that. Bill Bright, the late Bill Bright, was the founder and leader of Campus Crusade for Christ. He told a story one time about an oil reserve called Yates Pool. As the story goes, Mr. Yates, out in West Texas, bought a large spread of land, hundreds of acres, and it was during the Depression, and as he purchased that land and the Depression hit, he really suffered financially. He had sheep that he was managing, and they weren't doing so well, and he was having trouble feeding his family and paying the bills. It was a rough time for him. You would look at him and think that he had all the wealth in the world because of all the acreage, but no, he was suffering. So he, like many other people, had to go on government assistance. And so he depended on the government to help feed his family and take care of some of the essentials. Until one day, a seismographer came to him and said, wanted permission to drill for oil. He said that all the signs indicated that there might be oil on his land. And so hopefulness, he gave permission for the drillers to come. He signed the papers, and in they came, and they dug a wildcat well. At 1,115 feet, the drill struck oil at the tune of 80,000 barrels a day. They dug again, and they found another well that was worth the tune of 125,000 barrels a day, and on it went. This is an old story, and 30 years later, they were still being told on that property, Mr. Yates had long died, that there was the potential of 125,000 barrels a day in a particular reserve. There Mr. Yates was, as poor as could be, living in poverty and government assistance, and all the while, right below his feet, he was a multi-billionaire and never knew it until the first drill was put into the ground. The last couple of weeks, several weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the powerful reserves that are available in the being filled with the Holy Spirit, giving God our capacity. You remember we said that all of our capacity is the same. This is not for super spiritual people. The Holy Spirit is available for all of us. Our capacity is the same. The problem is, are we giving God all of the available space? I've heard that over and over again. Somehow the Lord worked in this dense head of mine to say something that connects. It connects with me almost every week when I'm praying about something and I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to fill me, and that thought drops into my brain. Are you giving me all of your available space? I think that's a great picture. It has been for me. Well, this morning I want to talk about, for a few moments, I want to talk about an aspect of the Holy Spirit that is available to everyone who calls themselves a Christian, because the reality is that everyone who is a Christian today, God has especially gifted with what we call spiritual gifts. Say that with me, spiritual gifts. The Spirit will unpack it, and I just want to forewarn you. I'm going to probably put on a teacher hat today. I've got so much material. I squeezed as much of it in the notes as I could. There's no way I can unpack spiritual gifts in one 2-hour sermon. in one 30 to 40 minute sermon. So I'm going to dispense a lot of information, and then we'll come back after the fact. And my hope is to provide a study maybe on Wednesday night to unpack. Anyways, so you'll have to take notes fast. And there's some things that aren't in your notes that I'll make you aware of as we come along. So anyways, where was I? Spiritual gifts. Everyone who's a Christian is a spiritual gift. Has a spiritual gift. Let's define it. Here we go. Spiritual gift is this. A spiritual gift is simply a supernatural ability given to all Christians to do God's work on earth. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Look, turn to your neighbor and say, you have a spiritual gift. Go ahead, try it out. I know some people, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. That's fine. You all have a spiritual gift. We all have a spiritual gift. And so I want to talk about that this morning. And there are four primary lists in the New Testament that define spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at two dominant ones today as we unpack some of those gifts. And I want to begin with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is beginning the discussion. And he says to the Corinthians, brothers, and in our culture today, we would say sisters, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, right away, I don't want you to be offended. You know, sometimes when we say, you know, you're ignorant, it's not really a nice thing. So he doesn't really mean ignorant, or in Arkansas, where we come from, ignorant. But anyways, ignorant. He's meaning, I don't want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. 87% of Christians, statistically, I don't know how they arrive at these statistics, 80% of Christians don't know anything about their spiritual gifts. And right away, I just want to take some of the blame of pastors and churches. We talk about it probably not as much as we ought to, but we need to do a better job of equipping the church and helping us understand what spiritual gifts are so that we can be active in the world and serve God with great effectiveness. And so Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant about spiritual gifts. And then he says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we say we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does his work in all of us. So we all have a different spiritual gift, but the source is God himself. Now, I want to give you something that's not in your notes, and I'm going to slow down a little bit so you can write these down. I want to give you some alls, A-L-L-S of spiritual gifts, some alls of spiritual gifts. This was an 11th hour insertion. Some alls. Number one, all Christians, say all Christians. All Christians receive spiritual gifts. There's not a Christian in the world that God has not bestowed upon them a spiritual gift of some sort. All spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit. They don't come from me. They don't come from the denomination. They don't come from the manual in the Church of the Nazarene. They're spoken about in all of those places, but spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. All spiritual gifts are equally useful. Equally useful. You know, sometimes in the church, we can sort of think that that some gifts are more significant and important than others. And in the flesh, we see that, you know, so I'm up here and I'm preaching to you and I have the spiritual gifts, whatever, that allow that to happen. But my spiritual gift is no more important than yours. Years ago in another church, we had a lady who wanted to serve. We had a janitorial service, but she wanted us to leave all the toilets alone. And they were like, I don't know, 250 toilets in the church. There were at least 10, and she wanted to clean them herself because she felt like the Lord wanted her to do that. She was a servant, and she was quiet and she was soft-spoken, but she was serving, and her gift was as important as any other gift. Your spiritual gift is equally useful. And then all spiritual gifts are used by God. Aren't you glad that God takes what we have and he uses them for his glory? There's not a thing that God wastes. How does God use spiritual gifts? Here's a passage, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, where Paul says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. I want you to think about that for a moment. God has given us spiritual gifts in such a way that we will benefit one another. So God has uniquely blessed you, not just to do something for the kingdom, not just to do something for God, and that's a wonderful thing, but he has given you something that will benefit those people around you in your life and in your workplace. All spiritual gifts are given to benefit others, to others. You know, sometimes, and I want to say this correctly without any criticism or judgment, but whenever a gift is functioning and you have the sense that it's all about the person, you can sometimes guarantee that either you have a very immature believer or you've got a person who's not operating in their gifts. Because when someone's operating in their gifts, you look at them or you hear them or you observe them or you read them or you watch them and you say, only God. Only God. And then finally, all of hell wants you to keep your spiritual gift hidden and unused. You just think about it. If the Holy Spirit has given you a gift to make a difference in the world, to make a difference in your home, to make a difference in your workplace, to make a difference in the community and in the church, the devil's going to work hard to get you not to think about it, to get you to hide it, to get you to misuse it, because he doesn't want the kingdom to advance. So I want to talk about some spiritual gifts, but before we get there, maybe it would be a good idea for us to talk about what spiritual gifts are not. So let's throw that list up there real quick. First of all, spiritual gifts are not natural talents. So have you heard someone sing? We'll just say they've sung a song and you go, that was awesome. That was great. And then you hear someone sing a song and it's almost as if God shows up as an audience of one and the Spirit of God floods in a place. I don't know if he'll receive this tag or not, but I believe that Pastor Les has a gift of worship that's more than a talent. That's just how I feel about that. So anyways, they're not natural talents. Number two, they're not just given to the super spiritual. Say amen. Not just to the super spiritual. It's available. Spiritual gifts are available for everyone, no matter who you are. One spiritual gift is not more important or significant than another one. We've already talked about that a little bit. It's not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. There it is. Spiritual gifts are not the same as fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about that next week as we welcome our teachers and talk about how God can use them through the coming year. We're going to talk about the practicalities of the fruit of the Spirit. And then, spiritual gifts aren't something to fear. You know, I think sometimes in the church, we have strayed. We've kind of taken a step away from our Pentecostal backgrounds. We used to be the Pentecostal Church of the Nazarene, and for many, many reasons, early 1900s, we shifted away from that, and there are good reasons for that, but there are, sometimes we're afraid of charisma. And that's those guys over here, and so we don't want to have a. And I think in the Church of the Nazarene, one of our problems is because of association, we don't want to associate. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit because of what we have seen visibly, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that make us a little uncomfortable. And I'm not saying that all that we see is right. I'm just saying that when the Holy Spirit works, something's going to happen. Come on, church. And we can't sit stoically and look down our nose at our charismatic brothers and sisters. And some of it is a little different, right? And it would never work in a church of the Nazarene. But I'm telling you what, today, a church that's empowered and spirit-filled is a church that's going to witness signs and wonders where people are healed and marriages are put back together and kids get saved. And all of these things happen under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something to be feared, is something to be embraced. I mean, I'm as Nazarene as they come, third generation Nazarene, and I love my church, and I'm going to stick right in this stream. But I tell you what, we need to think harder and pray more and believe stronger in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we don't have to be afraid. I think there's some folks who are a little afraid of stepping into the subject of the Holy Spirit because they're afraid of what's going to happen if they do. I've been saying these days, God, I'm scared to death, but okay, go ahead and do it. Right? Go ahead. Do your work. Bring on your best. God won't do anything to disrupt His Spirit. I want to be in that flow. Romans 12. Paul says, in His grace, God has given us believers different gifts for doing certain things well. You know, I think we serve a God who believes in excellence. I would rather God take my small spiritual gift so that I can do things well than try to do something I'm not gifted at and make a mess out of it. If you'll let God get in your life and you'll let the Holy Spirit begin to teach you and train you and equip you to serve Him, He will help you do things well. So let's talk about some of those things. Here we go. The first one, these are underlined in your notes, I think, somewhere in there. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So what's the gift of prophecy? Prophecy is the ability to speak on behalf of God. So that's what I'm doing this morning, but it doesn't have to be a preacher. Some of us do that at work. Some of us do that at school. Some, we all have different capacities. Just because I'm standing up here preaching to you doesn't mean no one else has the gift of prophecy. It's the ability to speak out for God with boldness. And then Paul says in the next verse, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. We have people in this church, if they quit serving, you know, the servants, those who have the gift of serving, they thrive on doing things no one knows about. I'll come in this place at different hours of the day, and there'll be people, I don't even know how they got in here. But they're serving Jesus. No one knows some of the things that people do. Servants who keep things going. Miss Shirley in the kitchen keeps things going. David helped in the funeral yesterday. Marie brings all that good stuff out there. You know, we need servants who clean the toilets. We need servants who get a vacuum and vacuum stuff. They've seen it for weeks and weeks. I don't know why the janitor didn't get that. I'm going to do it. And so no one knows about it, and they thrive. Do you have the gift of service? We need you. Don't stop. And then we have this. If you're a teacher, well, then teach well. You know, some of you have this gift where you hear something or you read something, and all of a sudden your mind starts working. And in your mind, it appears point A, point B, sub point whatever. And all of a sudden you have a lesson. And you have any of you have the gift of teaching here? Yeah, two or three. Yeah, good. I know some of you are afraid. If I raise my hand, he's going to call me to teach the junior high boys. Not raising my hand. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. I think this is one of the greatest gifts the church needs today because we live in such a rough world out there. If you're a card writer, if you're a speaker of encouragement, if you like to call people, if you like to walk up to people at work or at church, stare them in the eye and say, you know you're the best thing since sliced bread, or whatever it is you say, let me say to you, keep on doing that thing because we need you. Be an encourager. Don't be afraid of it. Nurture it. We need encouragers. Here's the next one. If your gift is giving, give generously. This is not just a money thing. Although God blesses people financially because He knows they are generous people. But all sorts of people give in all sorts of different ways. You might have the gift of giving. Don't just associate it with money. You can give food. You can give desserts. You can give, help you. You know what I mean? Give generously. Give of yourself. Here's another one. If God has given you the gift of leadership or leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. I just want to pause. There are people in this room, just like any other other gifts, but there are people in this room who have the gift of leadership. You use it powerfully at work, and God needs you in His kingdom. He wants you to let the Holy Spirit drill down in your soil, because you have some oil reserves that the kingdom and the church could utilize. If you have the gift to show kindness, do it gladly. And then we're going to shift real quick. This is the second stream of spiritual gifts. This comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person as a spirit gives the ability to give wise advice to another, a message of knowledge. You know, you might be one of those people who folks come to and you give great advice. You've helped marriages stay together. You've helped young people get out of trouble. You have this ability to give knowledge and understanding to people. When I was first a pastor, I was like 23, 24 years old, my first pastorate in Boonville, Indiana. And, you know, Jamie and I had been married, you know, a couple of years, and helping people with their marriage was not, I did not have the gift of knowledge. You know, I had nothing to offer. I barely had enough to offer Jamie. No one ever came to me for marriage advice. I would probably pray over their divorce. It wasn't a good thing for people to come to me. But as I've grown and as I've nurtured, you know, Jamie has, and I have something to offer. But those who have the spiritual gift of knowledge, those who have the spiritual gift to give wise counsel, we need you in the body of Christ, because the world is in need of great biblical truth. Well, then there, the same Spirit gives faith to another, and to another the gift of healing. Frankly, I don't have strong faith. I have faith. I have faith to believe, but I don't have strong faith. It doesn't rise high on my spiritual giftings. Jamie, on the other hand, has a strong faith. You know, I'll say, you know, hon, we've got this thing going on. We've got a problem, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, Jamie, being your pastor's wife, say, well, have you thought of praying? And, you know, so let's pray over that thing. We will cast that mountain into the sea and declare victory. And I'm going, ooh, that's too much work. Let's just find a plan. But she says, let's pray. So she exercises faith, gets us on our knees and pray. And I'm not as bad as I sound, but the reality is your pastor's wife is a woman of great faith who believes folks that, just a strong faith. Some have the gift of healing. Some have the ability to go to the hospital or pray with someone and lay hands on them and pray healing over them, and God will heal them. This is a literal gift. We see it more overseas, the gift of healing. I don't know, maybe it's because they're more desperate overseas. Maybe they don't have the doctors and they don't have the resources, but we hear stories of healings, and even literally, you'll think I'm crazy, but there are documented stories within the Church of the Nazarene where people have been raised from the dead. We go, no, I don't think so, Pastor. Yes. Desperation and brokenness is like a magnet to the Holy Spirit. We've already talked a little bit about these verses. The Holy Spirit gives one person the power of to perform miracles, the ability to prophesy, and He gives some the ability to discern. We need leaders in the church to have a spirit of discernment. I've been on church boards before where we're getting ready to make a decision, and it looks like that thing is just going to move forward through the board, and all of a sudden someone, whenever this is at work, it's always humble and in a spirit of contriteness, but someone will raise their hand. I've had this happen and say, "Pastor, I don't know. This just doesn't feel right." And they'll give a short little rationale, and all of a sudden, you could see the light bulbs coming on over people's heads, you know. And as a spirit of discernment enters the scene, and God uses the spiritual gift of discernment to save a church or save a board or save a pastor from difficult things. Some of you in this room have a spirit of discernment. God's using you at home or at work. It's a powerful thing. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. We call this speaking in tongues or the interpretation of tongues. This is a whole sermon. I have one. And I was going to unpack it today, but that would turn this into a 3-hour sermon. And so I don't want to do that. But it's an important topic. I want us to understand it a little better. And we'll do that down the road, maybe. But it is a vital gift. I've seen the gift of tongues work on the mission field, someone who didn't know an actual language was this person prayed in Mandarin when they were only on the field for a couple of weeks, didn't have the ability, but they were in a situation where God needed someone to break through, and this brand new missionary began to pray, stuttering at first, but then the Holy Spirit took over and began to speak, and as soon as that prayer was over, he was back to square one, went back to language school and continued learning. I've seen these things. That's the spiritual gift of known languages to help in the propagation of the gospel. I know this is fast and I'm hurrying, but it's a reminder. The next passage, it's the one and only Spirit, the Holy Spirit, this Ruach, this Pneuma, this Paraclete, one and only Spirit who gives all of us who are Christians the power and the gift of a spiritual gift. So the question could be, well, Pastor, how do you get there? And I want to tell you, but before we get there, let me just sort of unpack it practically in sort of a fun way. Let's just say that all of us after church go to the Dairy Queen on Rockville Road 36, which will probably be the epicenter of the second coming over there. That's not in the Bible. That's a joke. And we're sitting there, and we all are eating our favorite ice cream. I won't force mine on you. And there's someone with a milkshake, a big old chocolate milkshake. You are a smart man up there. He was ready for me. That's good, Chris. So let's just say, well, it went away. Oh, there's, it's, you left it in front of me. I think Chris is doing that to say, hurry up, you're making me hungry, let's get out of here. And let's say you're all eating a Butterfinger Blizzard, whether you like it or not. And someone beside you has their Butterfinger Blizzard, and they set it they take a bite and they set it on the table, and it's like the cup lands halfway off the table. And you see it, and you know what's going to happen, and before you can do anything about it, the cup falls, and all of the blizzard, because it's melted now in the 100-degree weather, spills into the lap of the person. I'm just thinking how sad that is right now, but keep focused, Tim. What I'm about ready to describe next can explain what your spiritual gift is. Now, someone in that crowd, some of you were all at Dairy Queen, remember, were sitting outside in the blazing heat, and someone in the group will all of a sudden look up and look at the person in there. You can see it in their face, and they say something in their spirit like, anyone could have seen that coming. Next time, you should sit your cup down on the table solidly. And that won't happen. So, how many of you would say that? I'll open the altars for you. I will. Okay. Point to the person beside you that has that gift. Here we go. You have the gift of prophecy. You speak prophetically. You speak truth. right? Someone in the group will say, oh, I'm so sorry. And you'll run up to the counter there and you'll get a bunch of napkins and you'll start cleaning them up and you'll off the shoes and off the lap and you're everywhere. And how many of you would do that? Oh, see, okay, now that's, you have the gift of service. Isn't that good? Some of you would look at that situation and you would furrow your brow at that happening, and you would go up to that person and say, next time when you're holding that cup and you put it down, if step one would be this, and then if you'll do this, and then you won't have that problem. How many would do that? Okay. You have the gift of teaching. Some of you would say, I don't worry. It happens to everybody, and I don't want you to be upset about it. And you get a blizzard and you pour it all over yourself, and you say, "Oh, it's okay. It happens to everyone." How many would do that? Oh, we have some honest people here. You have the gift of encouragement. We need you. So then someone says, "Oh." Oh no, I'm sorry. I'll go get you another one. And you give up your Butterfinger. Just a case in point. That would not be me. Can I get a witness? Uh-huh. And you stand up on the table and you say, Butterfingers all around on me. You have the gift of generosity. And then the person would say, I'm so sorry. I could just feel that when it happened, and I'll help you through this. You have the gift of mercy. Now, you probably find that in first hesitations. But we all have a gift. How can we figure it out? How can we figure it out? Number one, we need to study what the Bible says about it. And I'm working diligently on providing a studies so that we can work through this. But I've listed some scriptures there, and for the time being, if you want to take that and read those and get some commentaries and study it, we need to study what the Bible says about the gifts. Then we need to just ask God to show us. If you're sitting here going, thinking of me, he's just really crazy today. I don't even understand spiritual gifts. Then our job is just to pray. No pressure, just pray, God, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I'm interested, I'm open, I want to serve you with power and enthusiasm. God, show me. Here's the next one. Examine what you do well, enjoy and do well. You know, this is a great clue. Just think about it right now. Think about the things that get you jazzed up when you're in a serving mode, right? When you do them, whether it's administration, whether it's teaching, whether it's generosity, when you think about it and it just jazzes you up, it gets you excited and you do it well, it could be a gifting that the Holy Spirit has given you. Note things for which you are complimented. These are not always true blue to determine spiritual gifts, but I tell you what, over and over and over and over and over again, if someone says, boy, you did good. That really touched me. That helped me. God used that. Pay attention to those things. Take a spiritual gifts test. How many have taken a spiritual gifts test or assessment? Hold them high. Just hold them high. I won't call your name. Okay, so less than half of the crowd has taken an assessment of some kind. You say, well, that's kind of mechanical and rote. It might be, but God could use those tools to help us flesh out. On our website, if you go to indiegracepoint.org, right on the main page, there's a spiritual gifts inventory. Click that. And you can take an assessment. It's a simple assessment. You'll get your results. We'll get your results. And if your survey reveals that you teach junior high boys, I'm after you. Just kidding. That's a good way. There are many online tools that you can just sit down and take a few and see where your leanings are. And then the next step is to become equipped and understand that. But here we go. Finally, just do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Be sensitive to Him. Here's the reality. While a spiritual gifts inventory might reveal leanings toward one gift or another, the truth is that God will bestow upon you a spiritual gift for a particular purpose in a time and place to accomplish His purpose. It will get done, and then He'll withdraw that spiritual gift, and you may never see it again for your life. Because God is sovereign. He might use you on a regular basis as a teacher, we'll say. But you may be out and about, and you strike up a conversation with someone, and you get into a conversation about Jesus, and you feel in your spirit that you need a witness to them, and if God's in it, He will open your mouth, and you'll have a prophetic voice and an evangelistic spirit, and you'll help that person see Jesus better than they've ever seen Jesus before. And then when you walk out of the store, the Holy Spirit may withdraw that, and you might not see it again for a good while, but you'll go back to teaching like nobody's business, because God is working through you. Does that make sense? We need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. We need to be open. We go into these things sometimes and we say, well, I'm too afraid to talk to that person. And if you feel the urging, I'm just saying, just take a step. Exercise your faith and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Just right where you're at, would you just bow your heads? I just want to pray for us a moment, and then I'm going to tie this up. Lord, I'm almost breathless with getting this information out, but I've prayed, Lord, and I pray that You would use what is information. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will take that and plant it in each of our hearts, mine included. I pray, God, that if we have a spiritual gift and we're using it, that You will just embellish it so that we can be even more effective in the kingdom. If there are those here who know their spiritual gift, but they're running from it, they're hiding from it, they're standing on an oil reserve, God, You would give us courage and boldness to step up and say, okay, God, I'm going to give this a try, but I need Your help. I pray, Lord, that if there are any just truly resistant, that in Your love You would just help us to see that if we will trust ourselves with You, You'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. This morning, Father, I pray that You would stir our hearts about this whole idea of spiritual gifts in such a way that we will seek it out, we will study it, we will learn, and we will get plugged in. If you could just look up real quick for me, I want to finish this up with the greatest gift of all. Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. And that just means that if you're in this life today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't made a faith commitment, you've never really said, okay, God, I'm a sinner, I need You, forgive me of my sins, help me to serve You and live for You. If we don't make that decision, Paul says in Romans 6:23 that the wages, the payoff of that is death. It's hell. I mean, but here's the other side of it. But the gift of God, here's the greatest gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, today if you sit here and we're talking about spiritual gifts of the Christian, but if you can't say that you're a Christian, if there's sin in your life and you're not in relationship with Him, I want you to know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you would just call out to Him today, if you would just pray, God, I'm a sinner. I want the gift of eternal life. I want to be saved. I want to serve You. I want to be in the family of God. If God will hear that prayer, He will do it right now. And He will love you into the kingdom. And there's a church that will embrace you and help you grow into some of these things that we've been talking about. So I just want you to bow your head again with me. And this morning, if you're hearing these words and you just know that things aren't right with you and God, and you want to take advantage and declare that Jesus is Lord, I just want you to pray this simple prayer just to yourself. You don't have to do it out loud. Just the simple prayer that says, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I don't understand it all. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And I ask right now that you would forgive me of my sins, dear God. I confess them. And right now I forsake them. And I turn from a life of sin. And I turn toward you, Jesus. Come into my life. Come in to stay. Teach me to love you. Teach me to love your word. Teach me to love the church. Give me strength to live for you. And I pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. God, I pray for anyone who prayed that prayer this morning. I pray, Lord, that as they offer themselves up to you and as they make this critical step to take advantage of the greatest gift of salvation, that today they would understand that as they have asked you, you have forgiven them of their sins and they are a new person in Christ. It's so hard to wrap our minds around, but we are new in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. The old is past. All things are new. And so, Lord, I pray that we would submit ourselves in terms of learning and growing. And I pray, Father, that we would grow up strong and mighty disciples of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. I pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand with me.